Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We often think that the world has changed a lot over the years of our lifetime. Yes, technology certainly has advanced and changed quite a bit. But the attitudes of the human heart, our hearts, are still very much the same. When we read the scriptures and think about our human condition, we realize that really nothing in that area has changed too much in the 2,000 years since Jesus walked on our earth, or even the 4,000 years since the time of Abraham. The Apostle James today speaks of two kinds of wisdom. One of them is the worldly wisdom, which is a haughty, prideful wisdom, which James says comes from the devil himself. Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. The other wisdom is a humble wisdom, which is from God, which comes down from above. Worldly wisdom, as we know, comes from a conceited and prideful heart. It's been that way from the moment Adam and Eve first fell into temptation. Remember why? Did they eat of that forbidden fruit which God commanded them not to? The Bible tells us it was because they wanted to be like God. They wanted more. They wanted to move up in their abilities as they sought, and were even willing to push God aside. James speaks of all kinds of temptations which we face, which stem from that first sinful, haughty attitude. He speaks of hearts that are full of bitter envy and selfish ambition. You and I may see the material things, the authority, the respect that other people in our world have, and we may want that. James goes so far to say this: wherever you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. He asks, why do we fight and quarrel with each other? It is because we want those things that we don't have. We want those things we see other people have. And at times, some are even tempted to kill in order to get those things. Some of you remember the Menendez brothers. They killed their parents for money. It was reported, and they were convicted for lifelong sentences in prison. Possibly worst of all, oftentimes our prayers are not from hearts of faith or according to God's will, but from selfish hearts, praying that God will give us the things we desire. I remember, I think now it's been almost 20 years ago, when this prayer of Jabez was popular on some religious bookstores. Basically, it was a prayer that said, God, give me more so I can give you back a tenth, and I get to keep 90% for my wishes and desires. We ask with the wrong motives so that we can spend what we get on our sinful pleasures. James goes on to write that we can even be tempted to become friends with the world, and he points out that if in order to get what we want, if we're friends with the world, we become enemies of God. It may be tempting to deny Christ and rebel against his commandments, his word, his instructions, so that the world will be good to us. That is the wisdom of the world, to do all we can to get all the things and all the honor that we want, that we seek, even if it means to destroy other people and deny our Savior. The disciples in our gospel reading today were certainly wrestling with that temptation. Jesus had predicted his suffering and death, but they didn't understand what he was talking about. Having been told in their communities for decades that a Messiah would come to save them from the foreign rule of those who oppressed them, the disciples had no concept of what Jesus was talking about dying. What's that about? Instead of hearing what Jesus actually said, they began debating with each other about the coming of the kingdom and who among them should have the best positions on Jesus' cabinet, so to speak, which had them arguing about who among them was the greatest. So when Jesus asked them later on inside the house what they were discussing on the road when they were walking, they were silent because they didn't want to say in open, in public, within the hearing of Jesus, what it was they were talking about. Using their human judgment in order to prove to each other who was the greatest and who would be honored as the greatest of all Jesus' disciples was too great a temptation for these disciples to pass up. And don't we at times find ourselves struggling with similar temptations? For those of you who live here, these past few weeks in the news, we hear about bullets flying at a local pub, killing a person, arguing over a drink, it was reported, killing one of the customers. Or that middle school story where a student shoots and kills another student just to show, I'm a tough guy, don't mess with me. Or in retail stores, if there's a great sale in certain stores, especially before Christmas, people get really violent and assault one another, arguing over who got to the product first and whose it should belong to, who gets to claim it. It seems like so many of our killings, our shootings, our road rages are in anger and really over stupid things. But that temptation is in each one of our hearts. Someone else has something we want, and in order to get it, we are tempted to destroy or nearly destroy them in some way to get what we want. Now, we probably all aren't tempted to pull out a gun, but people, we have more subtle, less obvious ways to destroy other people through words, through gossip, because of our envy and selfish ambition. Such wisdom, as was said, is from the devil himself. But God's wisdom, which is what we want, God's wisdom involves humility. This wisdom begins with our Lord Jesus himself. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others before yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross, with all its pain, all its nakedness, all of its mocking, all of its ridicule." In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, plainly it seems to us, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him." And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise, which actually happened. Jesus is God over all, forever praised, but he took on human flesh. He was tempted in every way we are, the writer to the Hebrews says. He was falsely accused, beaten, mocked, and nailed to a cross to die. Imagine his humiliation as he hung on that cross, true God and true man, and all the people were mocking him. His father, scriptures tell us, even abandoned him for a while. My God, why have you forsaken me? But he did all of this out of love for you and me and the world and the people in it, in order to save us from our sins. He humbled himself and became the greatest servant of all. And God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the highest place, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. We see all types of examples of that good humility in scriptures themselves. There's the tax collector who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that that one, not the other guy who's all haughty and proud, the humble guy went home righteous. King David sinned a whole bunch of times. The Bible tells us about him committing adultery, another man's wife, Bathsheba, and then had her husband killed because Bathsheba got pregnant. In deep sincerity, he later confessed, I have sinned against the Lord. And he was forgiven. The prophet Nathan answered, the Lord has taken away your sin. The apostle Peter, so ready to speak up and be outspoken, denied his Lord and wept bitterly. But the risen Lord told him, feed my sheep. And Paul acknowledged that he was a violent man, but the Lord called him as an example of God's grace to all who would believe in Jesus. God's love for us is never earned. It is always a gift. James is the one where we find this often quoted verse from the Bible that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The wisdom that comes from above humbly bends the knee and confesses our sins and our weaknesses, but God lifts us up and forgives us all of our sins through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We find strength in God's grace and mercy for us and the wisdom in the scriptures. James writes that the wisdom that comes from above is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So we humble ourselves before the Lord and really before one another. We serve one another in love, and God raises us. He gives us his grace in great abundance, much more than we could ever imagine and never deserve. Our sinful hearts tell us that we need to be envious of others and have selfish ambition in order to get ahead in the world, but such wisdom is demonic. God's wisdom calls on you and me and others who hear his word to be humble as we trust in God's grace for us in Christ and are gracious to each other in all that we say and do. This sounds like total foolishness to the world, But the Christian comes to realize that God really does oppose the proud. I sort of have an example from this past week. For months, really, I've been working with a veteran who's in a terrible apartment, single-story apartment. And he's on a voucher that you and I contribute our taxes to. But the landlord apparently receives $130 a month more if he takes in convicted felons. And this fella, this veteran, was not a convicted felon. He was just on the verge of homelessness. But the landowner wasn't getting, or the landlord wasn't getting that extra $130 each month for as long as they lived there. So he made it miserable, he and his handyman and other evil friends, to try to drive this fella out. They shut off his natural gas, so he had no way to heat or cook. They shut off his water, no way to bathe or give water to his cat or himself to cook. And tore out the electricity in the wall that was adjacent to the neighboring apartment. So, fortunately, within the last 2 days, city inspectors were called out to that location, and it's safe to say that that property is on its way to being condemned. So this fellow that wanted to squeeze out an extra $130 each month now will not be receiving income, any income, from three apartments in that building. We see this, so we see that this guy who was seeking to drive out the military veteran illegally and pridefully, refusing to make the upgrades necessary to make his apartment livable, that guy will soon be missing more than three times as much income as he had been receiving. All those with pride fall in the end. But God gives his grace to the humble, to all who trust in our Lord Jesus and walk in his humble path. May God give each one of us humble hearts, full of the wisdom of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus till life everlasting. Amen.